Hello and welcome to Grumpy Gamers. You're here with me, Pete, and along with me this week I have Ben.
Hello.
And Eddie.
Hello.
Yeah, and that's it this week. Only three of us.
Yes.
No Kirk.
No Kirk. Nobody else. More than that. Last week was five people of crowded podcast.
That was the most we'd ever had.
Yeah. It was fantastic, but my God.
I don't know. We've had five before, though, haven't we?
Have we? I'm not sure that we have.
I don't know if we've reached five.
We were on that show once, weren't we?
We've been on things where there were five of us.
Yes, yeah. We have been on a five-man podcast. Yeah, that's true.
That's a fair point, yeah.
But yeah, and Kirk's got a good point, I think. Kirk's got a good reason. I know you guys criticised me for taking a week off for the exact same reason, but...
I'm fully supportive of Kirk taking a week off for his roommate's birthday.
Yeah.
What you did, Eddie, was unacceptable, but
yes.
Kirk is entirely excused.
Okay.
Well, that's the start of our news for today, but obviously the rest of it will come through afterwards. Then we've got the new releases, which I've got to say, it's a bit dominated by Hogwarts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Then, of course, we will be talking about what we've been playing, and our feature this week is on the live service bubble.
Quite topical, actually, what's going on. Good stuff.
It's almost like we're up to date.
Yeah.
It's almost as if you suggested this on purpose.
Nice. Yeah, well. But to begin, Ben, do you want to lead us off with the quick news?
Yeah, absolutely. So first one, for probably me and you, Eddie, mainly, following from last week, when we mentioned the delay for the day before to November from March, there was 10 minutes of gameplay shown. Mm. So footage was put out there. We weren't sure whether that was going to happen because of this trademark issue and everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm all in. I think it looks good. I think the only issue is that they haven't shown much from like a game/objectives perspective, but I thought this has potential. I'm into a zombie MMO, and it does seem more fleshed out than not a real game at all. So it's somewhere between not a real game and a game, and this did something to move it towards the right place, I think.
It does just make me think of do you remember in Entourage there's that bit where like any film can make a good trailer?
Yep. Medellin.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it does just have a little bit about that. But I will admit, I quite like the footage as well. So,
here's
my main compliment was the lack of UI. And then you were like, oh, I think that's just work in progress.
I think that's just because in trailers they like to do that.
Yeah, but can someone please make a game with a really minimal UI? Because it would be so
you play
much
Tarkov.
Tarkov, baby! Woo!
Yes. I mean, a game I wouldn't suck at instantly. But yeah.
Maybe not Tarkov.
Yeah, none of those.
Yes. Nobody enjoys playing Tarkov.
Oh, you played Elden Ring? That's most of the time.
That is one of the better ones, yeah. For that. It was excellent.
But the day before was not the only game to get some footage this week. So Resident Evil 4 got 12 minutes of new footage. And it looked awesome, I thought. I thought the game looked really good. People have been talking about the rain because the rain is thick. It's thicker than a Snickers. It is brutal.
Each individual droplet?
I can't wait. I haven't seen it. Wow, that is rain. But it looks really good. So check that out as well, because I think people are very impressed and looking forward to that one. Last of Us Part 1 release date for PC. That's got to push back by 25 days from the 3rd of March to the 28th of March.
Is this the remake, the re-release?
This is the part one remake.
Right.
That's now coming to PC, but yeah, just pushed a little bit. Not sure the reason, but it's not too much of a delay regardless.
No.
The Dying Light franchise. That has sold more than 30 million copies combined across all platforms and across all the games.
Yeah. That is pretty mad, isn't it?
I know.
It's huge, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Like, I would never, if somebody had said, like, what's it sold, I would probably have gone, like, 10 across 10. Everything, maybe,
yeah.
Max.
Because are there three? Dying Light 1, 2, 3.
There's one, two, have they done spin-offs?
I don't think so.
Don't know.
But they'll have DLCs as well.
They had all their DLCs, which turned the first game into something really good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but anyway, that's massive.
You wouldn't think it, would you? Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, Dying Light 3 had a lot of hype around it. I mean,
two.
Two, sorry. So, yeah. But I wouldn't have thought that much. Well done.
Well, yeah, I think it, and the problem with Dying Light 2, not the game, but the time it released last year around Horizon Forbidden West, Sifu, and before Elden Ring.
Yeah.
So it was a tough old knock for it coming out the gate and trying to, you know, people buying that. And
you
Gran
didn't
Turismo,
mind it, did you? But again, it was a bad time to release a game.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Some people absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm. If I remember rightly, you gave it like a week's attention and then got taken away by other stuff, didn't you?
Absolutely, because it was that time where you could only really put a week into these things unless it absolutely gripped you.
Yes, yeah. I think that's the other thing people should learn from Elden Ring, by the way, is if there's heavy hitters in a row, be the last one.
Like, yeah. That is true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Another Wolong Fallen Dynasty demo that's going to drop at the end of this month, and that's going to be on consoles, PC, and last gen consoles. I think there was a previous demo that I never played, but I think if you complete it, you get access to some DLC or something. I don't. That may or may not be true.
Okay.
All right. So check that one out. Big news this week was that Redfall requires a constant online internet connection, even in single player mode.
Ah, yes, of course.
Yeah, so quite a bit of pushback on this. Yeah, quite a bit of pushback on this. People saying, why do you need it on a single player game? Because supposedly, I think you start a single player game, and I'm not sure whether it's as fluid with people joining games and you joining other games. I think if you're single player, maybe that's just what you've signed up for. This constant online connection, a lot of people are so against it because if your internet goes down or if the servers are busy, then you can't access the game. Now my immediate thing on this is I don't care because I always have a online connection with my Xbox or what have you, but on day one those servers are going to be absolutely rammed.
Yes. Yeah,
that's my only real concern with it. Other people have probably legitimate concerns for the way that they game, but doesn't seem to bother me. Would this bother you?
No. Don't give a
damn. Brilliant.
I'm not a big fan of it as a thing, but Redfall doesn't bother me anyway.
Yeah, it's one of those. I think in the old days, I really, really would have. Like, in fact, I'm pretty sure I've voiced my concerns about it in the past. But these days, when I've always got an internet connection and it's always stable, it's always good. You know, like, if we go back literally only 2 years ago, that wasn't possible. I remember I was playing online games and it would go, you are disconnected, and I would be devastated. But I play Tarkov day in, day out, all day, every day, and I never, ever have this problem, so... Yeah, yeah, right. Now, ask me when I've got shitter internet and I'll be going mental the other way.
I was going to say, is this why Ben's suddenly sensitive to it?
Yes!
I'm not sensitive to it. I'm not. No, I don't care. Yeah, I'm fine with it. It doesn't... I've never had a problem online gaming. It's just... people have issue with this, and that could be legitimately because they have bad internet or it cuts out, whatever. The majority of people, and I think the majority of the backlash and people... You know, you're going to play this game for a couple of weeks. And during that period, your internet connection most likely is going to be fine.
Yeah, I think I think there is a legitimate question around why you would need to be online all the time for single player.
Well, this is another thing,
Pete.
They've said, you know, people have that question. They've said exactly that. Mm-hmm. And people have said there is no reason that for a single player... Well, how do you know that? How do you know that the game design just literally doesn't allow that because of the multiplayer elements, that they couldn't separate the two, that there wasn't a way of doing it without incredible like expense towards the development or something? We don't know. We're not developers.
Well,
we don't know how this works.
I think probably the answer to that would be because they've been doing it for decades before without any trouble. So what have you changed so dramatically to make it impossible now? But
well, we again, just don't know how the multiplayer experience works. I suppose
it's a 2 week game. Like, who cares?
Yeah. Exactly. So we'll see. Next one. EA have reportedly cancelled an unannounced single player game, which is set in the Apex/Titanfall universe. So people were excited for potentially a Titanfall 3, but it's not happening. Not happening. Yeah,
Kirk's like, no, doesn't
he? Yeah, and Titanfall 2 is the campaign of that was widely regarded as excellent, I think. Never played it myself, but I think Kirk has, though. So. Yeah.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really, really good. A judge in the US has dismissed a lawsuit regarding Joy-Con drift, saying that the case cannot proceed because the owners agreed to Nintendo's end-user license agreement that disallows lawsuits.
Yes. Well written.
So, yeah. Anyway, consequently, the judge dismissed the action, stating that the parents should not have entered... should not have entered a lawsuit, but should have entered legal arbitration. I'm not sure what that means. If you're interested, look it up. But I think it's quite interesting that the end user license just says you can't sue us.
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah.
Very smart. Very smart. Wonder why it would have got so far. But anyway. And lastly, the PlayStation Plus collection that when you buy PS5, you get access to all the good classics that have been in the PlayStation library. That includes Days Gone, God of War 2018, like the PS3/PS4 Last of Us, like the PS4 version of Ratchet & Clank and all that kind of stuff. Loads and loads of good games on there. I think Resident Evil 7's on there as well. It's just really good. That's coming to an end, and you won't be able to download them anymore. So... that's coming to an end on the 9th of May. You've got till then to essentially claim them so you can add the games to your library. You don't have to download them. You just have to click add and then it adds them permanently. But if you get a PS5 between now and then, or if you haven't done that, then definitely recommend you do it because it's just games for nothing, essentially. And they're all pretty good.
That's like Epic, isn't it? They do a...
exactly the same, yeah.
Do the free one. Installed it.
But yeah, exactly the same.
I remember I missed XCOM 2 because I just missed it by day. I was devastated.
Because none of us check the launcher often.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't even load it up. It's just now and again. And then
I know, it's only when there's a news story item
on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If only there was some sort of podcast that would like alert you to these sort of
things. Yeah, but it's only... We did actually go through a phase of every week saying what the Epic free game was.
Mm. That was good.
But then... none of us know now, so...
Yeah, just, yeah.
But XCOM 2 is probably cheap enough to buy, Eddie. I'm not, even under your price.
No, I don't think so.
No?
I'm going to look it up. XCOM 2.
You do that.
I mean,
okay.
You say that, but there you go. First
35 week, so. Pounds.
No.
Yep, I knew it was going to be a big one. It's XCOM.
I got it on Switch for, like, nothing.
Mm. There you go, XCOM. It's always fucking high. Fair is play. It on my wish okay. list? I think I've given up on it. No, yeah, it's not on my wish list. Because sorry, I'm looking on my browser. I'm not signing on my browser. I think I did give up on it. Because whenever it's on deal, it's always on like 50%, and you're like, I'm still not paying that kind of
that's
money.
That's still above your threshold, isn't it?
For a 7-year-old game, it's
I have that problem
much.
With Dark Souls Remaster. It sits there staring at me at $39.99.
Yeah, I got it for £25, Dark Souls Remaster, years ago, though. But it's weird how they really hold their price, don't they?
It's ridiculous, yeah. But there we are. One day.
Yeah.
One day.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Well, with that's that, the end of the quick news. News. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, that's me. Activision Blizzard will pay $35 million settlement following workplace misconduct. I'm going to go full read mode, as Kirk says that I do. This is from Eurogamer. The SEC launched its that was a good start, wasn't it? I was going to say investigation.
No, I wish you had. Oh. That would have been fantastic.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like intestines or testicles.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's the word now.
The SEC launched its testicles into Activision Blizzard in September 2021, subpoenaing CEO Bobby Kotick and other senior executives to provide their internal communications regarding the company's response to the high-profile allegations of widespread misconduct and harassment within the company. First of all, before I carry on, did you know subpoenaing is spelt like that?
Is that how you say it, even though it's spelt like...
Subpoenaing. I assume it is pronounced.
Subpoenaing.
But if you see the word S-U-B-P-O-E-N. No, that's A-I-N-G.
It's an unpleasant word.
Yeah. That's a good description.
It's a good job I saw it before I spoke, because I would have, especially as it's a new line, I probably would have said it like subpoenaing.
Yeah.
The J-O, Bobby. Yeah. Yeah.
Like that guy that tried to say Valhalla at the Grammys yesterday. Did anybody see that?
No.
No.
Assassin's Creed Valhalla won an award. Mm. And it was the Grammys, right? Like last night?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, I think it was,
and
yeah.
He read out and he said, the winner is Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Valhalla.
Nice. Yeah.
I was like, oh my god. You've only got five nominees or something. Just learn what they are.
Yeah, just read them before. Even rehearse. In the car journey over. Fuck's sake. Right, carry on. After concluding its investigation, the SEC charged that the publisher had failed to maintain disclosure controls and procedures that would ensure it could adequately collect and analyse employees' complaints of workplace misconduct. So basically, it didn't have a fucking way of, like, collecting it. As a result, it said Activision Blizzard's management lacked sufficient information to understand the volume and substance of employee complaints about workplace misconduct, leaving it without the means to determine whether larger issues existed and needed to be disclosed to investors. Additionally, in a separate charge, the SEC said Activision Blizzard had illegally violated its whistleblower protection rule by requiring former employees to inform the company if they received a request for information from the commission's staff. So, I mean, first of all, they've been charged with $35 million, which is not a small amount of money. Who's running these companies? Like, this sounds like they don't even have a HR system. And then asking former employees to... are they run by the mafia? Is that what I'm... that's what... I feel like this is a mafia movie.
Yeah, I think... well, that's definitely how the media, or how we as gamers kind of view it, even from all the stories that have come out with Bobby Kotick and people like that. So this is a line in the sand for this one particular issue, isn't it? I mean, whether they did have an HR system that records all this stuff or not, and they've said they haven't, or whatever has led to this point. I mean, they need to kind of almost demonstrate being punished and to move on, and hopefully for people there the Microsoft deal goes through and hopefully there's a better place to work and all that kind of stuff, if that's the right thing.
Yeah. Have you heard what Activision Blizzard said? Their bloody statement was fucking ridiculous. Oh, here we are. We are pleased to have amicably resolved this matter. As the order recognises, we have enhanced our disclosure process with regard to workplace reporting and updated our separation contract language.
Not incredibly amicable for people that feel they weren't heard.
Yes. Not at all. It sounds like it was like a really good scenario, like they had a nice meeting.
This is lovely.
They've probably got some prep sandwiches on there as well, you know.
Oh, of really course.
Yeah. What a stunning result for all parties involved.
Yes, we're all happy. What the fuck?
35 million down, people still not pleased about
it. They already had their, was it 18 million settlement in 2021 as well. So...
I imagine it's cheaper than actually fixing the problem. That's the thing.
You go. Yeah. Should we start recording our complaints? Nah, just chuck it in that box over there. Yeah. Dave goes and burns it each week.
But the box is pretty full for this week, though. I mean, is that okay? No, it's fine. If it falls over the edge, we'll put that in the bin.
Yeah, don't worry about it. The lawsuit just allows us to hide profit anyway. It's all good. Yeah.
It's cheaper to hire someone to non-stop go around and shred all complaints by all staff than it is to deal with it. I mean,
it's just
fuck.
They just get an intern to do that, Eddie. It's fine.
That poor intern.
Oh, that bloody intern. he has so much to do.
Creating DLCs. He's sorting out little things for the Switch.
Pulling plugs out on servers. And
oh, yeah, exactly that.
He's a busy man.
Yeah,
that is a deep callback for many other episodes.
Yeah,
for people,
you have to be a hardcore listener to know what the fuck we are joking about.
He was in like 4 or 5 episodes in a row, though. He had a good run.
Callback.
Anyway, we
need to know those 5 out of 120 that we've done. Yeah, and you're laughing.
Episodes now. Yeah. anyway, there is more Blizzard Activision news. Because Microsoft reportedly believes that the UK is set to oppose their deal to buy Blizzard Activision as well. So this follows, obviously, the fact that the EU is probably doing so, which objected to perceived risk, didn't it, due to Microsoft owning Call of Duty. I do find this odd, by the way, that so much of it comes back to Call of Duty. Like, and I'll come back to this in a bit. It's
yep.
So, according to 4 people briefed on the matter but not authorised to speak publicly, great source, love that, Microsoft hopes to convince both Britain and the European Union to accept its concessions and approve the deal, which could make it easier for the company to reach an agreement with the FTC before the administrative trial starts this summer. So Microsoft did respond to the European Union's formalised antitrust warning, slapping down to contest its attempt against the acquisition. And yeah, I mean, we're seeing this more and more, aren't we? Like, different places contesting this in antitrust suits.
Yeah, we are. We really are.
Now, the sense I've got, at least so far, is that Microsoft don't seem overtly worried by it. They think that concessions will solve the issue, right?
I would expect so, yeah. They would know that a lot of this stuff would be contested. And
Yeah. You'd think their legal advice would have said this is going to ruffle feathers.
Yes.
Start from here and negotiate to here, right?
Yeah.
Like, that would surely be the pattern. But I do find it odd that they keep saying this is potentially anti-competitive. Because, and this nicely leads into your story to follow, Ben, PlayStation seemed to be so much bigger. So much bigger. You're there kind of punching the 5-foot guy to protect the 6-foot-4 guy. You know?
Yes, I totally agree with your statement there. Like, PlayStation are, we'll talk about it in a second, but PlayStation are seemingly so far ahead of Microsoft in this generation as they were last generation. Mm-hmm. And it constantly comes back to Call of Duty, obviously. But when, just maybe because we play more games and it really is the casual gamer that this whole thing is coming towards, but I would never even think, if somebody just said gaming, describe gaming, what's a game? I'd never even think of Call of Duty. And I know it's the best-selling game and all this kind of stuff, but there are so many... I don't know, like, it just seems weird that that's the thing that's then makes something a no. Like, it seems logical that, yes, if somebody owned that, then it would make them more competitive, and it is anti-competitive. All of these things are anti-competitive. Why would you buy someone unless you wanted to make it anti-competitive? Like, that's the whole point.
Every single sale is functionally anti-competitive.
Yeah. Like, absolutely, because it's stopping somebody from using that money to spend on someone else.
Exactly.
Like, that. So I don't really get it, and I understand we don't want it to stifle the industry, absolutely not. But from what I've seen, it doesn't seem that there's anything compelling enough to suggest, or there's nothing being brought out in the media that's compelling enough to suggest that it would stifle the industry. Like, are you stifling people having Call of Duty? Yeah. Well, okay. Well, it's one game. Like, there's loads of other games.
Yeah, and you think about it as, think of all the exclusives on PlayStation already.
Absolutely.
Massively stifling everyone with an Xbox just with that, immediately.
And, yes, and I know this is the argument that a lot of people put forward, but look at like Final Fantasy. And it's, well, that's on PlayStation.
Yeah.
That's not coming to Xbox, or not anytime soon. And PlayStation do this all the time. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with PlayStation paying for exclusives to not go to Xbox, or paying for it not to go to Game Pass. People say that's underhand. No, it's not. This is just business. Wake up.
I mean, I'm not a fan of it, but it is just business.
But I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of it because it takes money out of my pocket if I want to play the game.
Yeah,
but I'm not a fan of it at principle.
People off from content is my issue. But yes, I understand it's business and that's how it has to work.
Like, absolutely, because because then a company makes more money, and then they produce better content, or they produce better games, or they can afford to make The Last of Us 3, and you know, all comes around, goes around. It's just, I don't know. This whole thing just seems weird to me. Doesn't it just seem weird that you can block this type of thing?
It really does. Although, can I say, the thing I liked least in this entire article was actually the fact the New York Times described Microsoft as a megacorp. And suddenly in my head, I'm going, are we already in the dystopian cyberpunk?
Yeah, are we already in the cyberpunk zone?
Are they about to annex Kuwait? Like, what? What's the
Apple's
situation?
Apple's got to be the other one.
Yeah. You'd imagine Apple, right, Google, like all of them.
Google, do we, yes.
Yeah.
Course.
Do they suddenly contract our children in utero? Like, what situation are we in?
Well, I mean, it depends what they're paying.
Can they be exclusive for PlayStation? Like, is that, you know, it's just a weird one. It's just, yeah, I don't like the use of megacorp for normal life, but, you know.
No. But yeah, that follows on then from, as you're saying, PlayStation being seemingly so far ahead of Xbox in this generation. So in the wake of God of War the other week saying that they sold 11 million copies, and that was all bundled in with these new PlayStations that are being sold, Sony have revealed massive sales numbers for the PS5. So last week we talked about Xbox and we were kind of almost on the fence because we didn't really know what their numbers were saying, because they were down year on year. So Q4 was down on Q4 the previous year by, you know, like material percentages. And PlayStation, not so much. That's what we've learnt this week. 7.1 million PlayStations were sold over the 3 months to December 31st of last year. That's 83% up on the last year. Okay. Now, PlayStations were in short supply last year. They're not in that short of supply now. You can see them in shops now. And Xboxes were more commonplace. You could find them, you know, when I wanted a Series S, you could buy one instantly. A Series X, I found one straight away as well. So, like, they were always about. So maybe their sales are more spread, let's say.
Yeah.
More evenly spread. But, Sony selling huge numbers. They've also increased their expectation for the year to December 31st, 2023. They've increased that to 19 million units. and they expect to shift 6.2 million by the 31st of March. Now, the PlayStation to Xbox comparison of sales is, you know, even this early, well, I say early in the generation, we're 2 years in, it just feels early.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's probably 2-1 or something. You know, it's just huge. Mm. Alternatively, on the other side, Xbox's main push is Game Pass, obviously. Now, PlayStation talked about a small increase in PlayStation Plus subscribers, up from 45.5 million to 46.6. Now, it's an extra million, really. That sounds good, but ultimately, that probably means that because people are buying these consoles, as we said, 7.1 million bought in the last 3 months, that probably means a fair few people are getting rid of their subscriptions for PlayStation Plus, like me. I don't have a subscription anymore because I don't see it worthwhile at all. It was up at 48 million, especially when they brought out the new tiered system, and it's slowly kind of dropping. I wouldn't be surprised if it stayed at that number despite them selling more PlayStations, or if it dropped slightly, unless they do something differently. But they may not be. I know they brought out their PlayStation Plus and their tiered system as a almost Game Pass competitor. It's not really, but we say it in the same breath.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure whether they're that bothered to actually put anything into that, really. I just don't. They haven't made any moves to do that. So, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. I did it for a month or two, played Stray. That was it. And then see ya.
I think it only came about, Ben, is because the Game Pass was just blowing up, like all these new games. Everyone was talking about. And I remember saying at the time, like, PlayStation need to come back with an answer because everyone's talking about the Game Pass, about Game Pass. Everyone's getting Game Pass. So, and I think they did answer it because obviously.
Yeah,
they
do you think that own. Then? Is that what you think, that it's an answer?
I think.
And now the answer's out there, they don't need to do anything more.
It's all they were talking about in their weekly meetings were, right, Microsoft have done this on Game Pass, they brought this out, and have we got an answer for this? And they've obviously come up with this, their version, if you will.
That's the thing, I suppose, in a situation where one option has a value add and the other one doesn't, all you have to do is offer a value add. It doesn't necessarily have to match perfectly.
I think now they can argue. So if you're in your storefront and you're going, oh, what do I do? Want Xbox or PlayStation? Well, PlayStation's got all these, you know, huge exclusives, really good games. But Xbox has this Game Pass. Now they can go, oh, well, we've got that version of Game Pass as well, but we've also got these amazing exclusives.
The thing is, they always had something quite similar to this, and they just basically repackaged it to be the competitor. But it's essentially exactly the same thing. Now, them getting rid of what I mentioned, the quick news, the like classics, whatever you call it, that collection, that is quite significant because they have some really, really excellent games on there. Mm.
You'd think that's
Don't know whether that is rolled in to the PS Plus Extra anyway. Those games might be on PS Plus Extra regardless. Maybe they're just trying to get rid of that free stuff to encourage people to get onto the subscription.
Maybe that's
what they're doing. But I genuinely think that to new gamers, if you haven't been a console gamer or you haven't been in the Sony ecosystem like PlayStation, the better value at the moment is on the PlayStation Plus.
Okay.
Than Game Pass. Mm-hmm. However, Game Pass is going to shine this year with all these new games, and so then it will flip. But if you're a brand new gamer, there are better games, I think, to be playing on PlayStation Plus than Game Pass right now.
That's huge. Are there as many?
Yeah, there are. There are a hell of a lot of games. Yeah, that I would say, I don't know the numbers, but it's definitely comparable. Okay. But they also have bigger and better games from the PlayStation ecosystem over the last like 5-6 years. So if you, as I said,
remember looking at the, I think this is quite a controversial comment, but I remember looking at the list and I remember thinking Game Pass knocks the shit out of this. But also, I guess I'm also always going to be biased between Game Pass because I'm PC Game Pass as well.
That is a big thing. Yeah. I'm just saying to somebody new to gaming,
Yeah,
console gaming especially, I think PlayStation Plus is a cracking deal. Yeah. Game Pass is also good, but this is very good.
Do you know what's interesting, by the way? Because following up on this, I actually looked up the stats for sales, Ben.
Yeah.
Overall on the consoles, this is.
Yeah.
And PlayStation is about 7 million ahead. It's like 24-17, basically. But that was at the end of October. So that is 3 months ago.
That's out of date.
Most recent I could find. That was the most recent one that was like verifiable, at least to a degree, that I could find. But if you think they're saying 7.1 million in the month, 3 months up to December, that's only including a month of that.
Yeah, the point here is that PlayStations were virtually unavailable. Mm. Well, they weren't. I mean, you could get one. Well, if you wanted one, you could have one in a week.
More.
Now they're available. Yeah, they are
selling even quicker.
Flying off. And Xbox have, relatively speaking, always been available.
Yes.
So, I think they will start streaking ahead. Maybe I was a bit ambitious with 2-1 then, given those numbers.
It might not be far away by the end of the year.
So,
that's the news, isn't it?
And if that is the case, Pete, and it is like 2-1 or something, then that's no different to the previous generation. And so what ground have Microsoft made up at that point?
Yeah. How is them buying anyone anti-competitive? But, yes.
They're
literally half the size. But, yes.
All right, on to new releases then. I'm going to start with... Pete, did you put this one in, Spellforce Conquest for EO?
I did, yes, because it had suddenly appeared amidst other games when it hadn't been on any of the three lists I checked last week. So... Yeah,
nice. Well, it came out on PC February 3rd, that one did. On a journey to... I'm going to read out the blurb, because it actually looks like a really good game, so I'm going to give it the oomph it deserves, or the zhuzh, as Ben would say. On a journey to a great magical might, explore and control the lands of EO. I'm going to call it EO. It's spelt E-O, so I'm going to call it that. In this ever-changing turn-based strategy role-playing game. Oh, look at that. They put... turn-based strategy role-playing game. Well done. Thank you.
That's because it's not adventure, really. It's only adventure where they cut game off.
Fuck you. Field armies and heroes in tactical combat, finish hundreds of quests and gather spells and artifacts to become the most powerful mage of all. Of all? Yeah, okay, I'll allow that. Yeah, I think we missed this last week. Well, Pete fucked it up once again. We're starting to have a lot of these. I like it. I like how Pete's dropping the ball there. This is now the third Spellforce game on my wish list. True story.
Yeah.
It's a turn-based strategy RPG. It looks very similar to Age of Wonders 3. If you haven't played it and you're into your tactical turn-based games, fucking get it immediately. It's so good. I played the shit out of it. And it must be good because I looked up before this podcast and it's still £24 and it came
is
out.
Is this Age of Wonders 3 or Spellforce Conquerors of
the Age of Wonders 3. Right. Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, that's this in blurb my library, has really turned into another game.
Yeah. Yeah.
An advert for another game.
So I can't recommend Age of Wonders 3 enough. You can find it on Steam for £24.
If this game was actually in the right new releases, as in last week, it might have got like might have been in for a shout of being Game of the Week.
Yeah. Yeah,
still
absolutely.
Has been. It's in for being Game of the Week this week.
This is my my game of last week. There you go. That's a new section we're going to give it. Yeah, highly recommend. Next one, Monster Outbreak, coming out on Switch February 9th. The King's dimensional orb has malfunctioned, bringing hordes of monsters into the kingdom. Defend yourself. Isn't that the plot of Witcher?
Historical Witcher stuff, yes.
Interesting. Defend your safe ground. Safe ground, that's a poor word. Against the monsters by gathering resources, building defences, upgrading your arsenal, and surviving long enough to find the source of monsters and destroy it. Well, you don't know it's a singular thing. It could be numerous things, couldn't it? Destroy them? I read the blurb before researching this game, which was a big mistake. I regret doing that. Yeah. Because I read that blurb and thought, oh, this sounds like The Witcher, or it could be, but it sounds like Witcher, but maybe strategy? Dare I say, like a I don't know, defense kind of horde kind of Witcher game? No, this is a pixel top-down survival game. It's kind of got Pokemon visuals.
It really does. Like original Pokemon, but with
original. Of, I should definitely say original. Yeah, they say pixel top-down survival game. That's what they describe it, but it's more of a horde game. Loads of like hordes come at you, and then like when the horde stops coming for a small amount of time, you kind of venture out. But the graphics are so bad that I think this is going to be an absolute clusterfuck. Ben, I'm going to come to you because you've got Switch. So do you think you'll like this game?
No.
Ah! Right. Right. No. I thought maybe a man of a Switch and also a fan of Pokemon games. Maybe.
I've got nothing good for it. No, not for me, sir.
Ah.
Conclusive. Okay.
Fair enough.
Good.
Yeah.
I am now accidentally listening to someone playing the game instead of carrying on with the section. Feel free to edit that one out, Ben. I bet you won't. Next one, Hogwarts Legacy. Small game. Coming out on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series X. Is it coming out on S? You've put S here, Pete. February 10th.
Yeah, everything comes out on S.
There you go.
Right, okay, so definitely S and X. Because I know that the... Was it PC, Xbox One, and Switch is delayed, isn't it? So
S, right. All next gen's out, yeah.
Right, cool. Right, you heard it here first. Hogwarts Legacy is an open-world action RPG set in the world's first... In the world first introduced in the Harry Potter books.
In the world of Harry Potter. The world of Harry Potter. Just
It's not saying it's a world's first.
Yeah, it's
first
introduced in
the world premiere. Oh, right, so it should be a comma at least there then, shouldn't it?
No, but still.
No? All right, it's fine. Embark on a journey through familiar and new locations as you explore and discover magical beasts, customize your character, and craft potions. Master spellcastering... I think, how can it be and craft potions, master? Upgrade talents and become the wizard? That's not right.
This is a particular run-on sentence that I did dislike, which is why I wasn't going to comment on the one before. yeah, you've really got to put the focus in exactly the places they did when they were speaking this aloud to make it make sense.
As you explore and discover magical beasts, customize your character, I'm reading it now. And craft potions, master spellcasting, upgrade talents, and become the wizard you want to be.
Yes, there's a lot of Oxford commas that could have been put in this in words, which makes it worse. But yeah, if you treat each one as a singular thing, like if you did it as a bullet point list,
so like explore and discover is like a singular thing, and
customize your character, craft potions, master spell.
Yeah, but you end up repeating, just ignored an and there. You can't just ignore
lovely,
an and.
Yeah, they just got lovely ands. Just,
just ands.
They've just put commas at some points, ands at others, without really thinking through why. Yes, clearly we can tell they paid their copywriter a lot for this game. But,
big game, big game, big game.
Big game. Game. Big game. Yeah, from what I've seen, it looks amazing. I'm all in. I know Pete, you thought I wouldn't be, but it's a RPG magic game. I'm gonna just ignore that Harry Potter's even involved. I fucking hate Harry Potter world stuff. And I think I'll have an amazing time. Possible game of the year for a lot of people, I reckon. Ben, I'm gonna come to you because I bet this is a pre-purchase game for you.
Yeah, I get it on the day after we're recording this, so I get it tomorrow, Tuesday.
Nice.
Yeah, it's got tremendous reviews. Reviews have come out today. Mm-hmm. It's got 86 on PS5. It's got 89 on Xbox. The reviews that I've seen have... Everyone's been very, very positive. ACG saw his review. He absolutely loved it. He said it was 50 hours. Fantastic. Yeah, I cannot wait to play this game, actually.
I am very much looking forward to your review. I think it does. I think this game looks fantastic. I will not play it, but I think it looks absolutely fantastic.
Why won't you play it, Pete? Because you love like magic and fighting.
Yeah, so this has always been my problem with the Harry Potter world, is that there's too many limitations on what you can do. Like, why does literally no one dual wield wands? Or why does no one have a knife in one hand and a wand in the other? Like, block the spell and shank them. Like, come on, think about it. As opposed to doing like a little pose as you cast one spell. It's just...
I definitely like to stay at range, but maybe a gun.
Too limited. Too, yeah, a machine gun.
Why does no one have an AK-47?
Why don't you have an Uzi in the other hand? Like, there are options here. And they just ignore them all. It just winds me up.
Ben, do they explain in the movies? I think I've only watched two of them.
I mean, I don't explain it because I'm not sure that it's necessary to explain it.
If Harry Potter just pulled out a fucking Uzi.
I assume they could just be disarmed or something.
But no, because you've got a wand in the other hand, Ben. You block that and shoot him. They block very easily in the films.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, anyway. I don't know what fight you're fighting the good fight, Pete. That's fine.
No, it's not that. It just doesn't entice me to play.
It's fair enough. Like if you don't get on with the world, then that's fine. I think throughout my childhood, I always loved Harry Potter. I think this is great because they're stepping away from the Harry Potter characters. Obviously, it's set
in
the 1800s or something, and you know, open world game. Supposedly, it seamlessly goes from Hogwarts to the like outside world, and like it seems very, very natural. It's constantly giving you new spells and ways of doing things, and it just the combat seems excellent. People just said that it's been beyond their expectations, and that's exactly what I wanted. I also really like the length of this game. The fact that ACG is saying 50 hours, the fact that IGN, who probably tried to race for it a bit more, still was like 35 hours or something. Like, it's you can get good deal of value out of this game, and for Harry Potter fans, I think this is going to be massive. Yeah, no brainer. Yeah. Like,
and I reckon
really, really popular game.
If they're taking that long, I reckon this is a 100-hour game if you want it to be.
But potentially, if you're doing everything and all the side quests, have to see how it plays out and how it works. But if this is a type of world that people may want to get absolutely lost in. So, yeah, I can definitely see that.
I think I might get it on quite an early sale. You know, one of the old 10% off or jobs.
Yeah, because
I'm really excited. Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Well, if you'd bought it the other day, you could have got it at Currys for £48, I think.
No, I'm gonna wait for a bit, you know, see more game content. Just get a good... I want to get excited about it enough for me to do fucking shitloads of research, practically play the first 10 hours of the game myself, by just watching and researching. And then I want to get involved then, because if I'm going to spend that kind of money, I want to know what kind of game I'm getting into. I don't, you know, I get lots of like, and I know I shouldn't compare it to this, like Skyrim vibes. I don't know, just like the look of it, the open worldness, the magic. And I want a game like that, and I don't know if that game is this yet, or if it's going to turn out to be a silly little wizard game.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's a silly little wizard game, because I think it's been reviewing so well.
Yeah.
And by reputable kind of sources, and reputable YouTubers as well, who I think you and I probably both would get on with.
Mm-hmm.
But... There is that thing where you may just not get on with it, obviously. It's very rare that like a game comes about where, and I think I probably had this of Elden Ring, where you're just like, you are already so bought into the game before you even play it. A lot of the times I play video games just to be involved in the conversation, or like playing Forspoken the other week, like not a bad game at all, but it's very unlikely I was going to finish that because I had no real investment in it. But I think like Callisto Protocol recently, when it came out, I was so invested in that before I even started it. So I love going in like that, where it's almost like you're going in for the love of it and the enjoyment of it, and you're not going to be disappointed because you've already bought into the concept entirely. And this is exactly that for me.
Mm. Are any of the Harry Potter movies on any of the streaming services? Because that could really get me.
They're all on Sky Movies, if you have like Now TV Movies or whatever.
Right, because that will get me involved. That's an idea. Right, brilliant. Let's move on to Blanc. I'm going to say that because that's the French word and that's how they pronounce it. Coming out on PC and Switch, February 14th. Blanc is an atmospheric cooperative. I should have done all this in a French accent, shouldn't I? That would have been better.
Start again.
Blanc is an adventuristic cooperative adventure that follows the journey of a wolf cub and a fawn stranded in the vast snowy wilderness. They must come together in an unlikely partnership to find la famille.
Apart from the laugh in the middle, you really went Russian as you like drifted through that sentence.
All my nationalities take a wander through Europe every single fucking time. Irish goes to Scotland, France goes to Russia, Spain goes to Italy, maybe, I don't know.
Become pirates, all of them, yes.
And they all go down to pirates, that's what they all fucking stem down to. So this game, I said this wherever we saw it in some sort of direct or something, it looks beautiful. It's despite its like kind of hand-drawn style, it looks absolutely gorgeous. It's text free, so there's no reading, so that's great. The animals have different benefits and weaknesses, so you have to kind of work together. The music is really nice and calming, and dare I say it, charming too. It looks like a wonderful game to play with your partner, or shout out to Kirk, your roommate. It's coming out on Valentine's Day as well, so what an absolute delight. And I never thought I'd say that about, let's call it a Switch game. So, Ben, what do you think? Switch game coming your way?
It's co-op only.
Yes, it's very like much a...
Looks great. It does look really nice, doesn't it? Like, the disappointing thing is that it was a highlight of a Nintendo Direct that it was in. We all said that looks really nice, artistic, and I like these types of games. Like Endling was that kind of, like, you feel like you could get some kind of emotion from this game or whatever. But I don't like forced co-op games. I think Pete, you might feel similarly on that one.
Yes, I hate forced co-op. As a concept, I do think this game looks really, really nice, and it's only £13, guys. It's not expensive. But it is forced co-op, so I obviously won't touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a shame, because I do think it's a very niche audience, isn't it? That forced co-op, couch co-op thing. I don't know if it has online to do it, but if it doesn't and it's couch only, then obviously there are It Takes Two and
Yep.
I think Brothers was like that, or then A Way Out, but they are rare and they are niche.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was quite upset to see this would be brilliant for me if it was, because I'd play this on Valentine's with my roommate, but PC, I can't bring my PC into the front room and fucking do it. That's a nightmare. If it was Game Pass, then easy, just connect it. Bob's your uncle, but
yeah,
unfortunately, it's just PC and Switch, which I'm really ashamed of. But hey, let's move on to Journey to the Savage Planet, a Ploy of the Month edition coming out on PC and Xbox Series S, X, PlayStation 5, that is, February 14th. It's a next-gen release, this is, sorry. It's a funny action-adventure shooter, if you remember it. I don't really care. So let's move on quickly to 10 dates. This is going to be Pete's... It's going to be Pete's favourite game of the year. Coming out on PC, PlayStations, Xboxes and Switch, February 14th. 10 Dates is the sequel to the interactive rom-com 5 Dates. Misha, a millennial from London in search of that elusive in-person connection, tricks her best friend Ryan into going to a speed dating event with her. It's a decision game about dating. So you're in your little dating thing and you make decisions. And that kind of stems off and you can see the people talking about your decisions.
What are these games called? The ones that are like actual films, like they're genuine people, genuine actors, you make choices and
interactive
it does...
game, isn't it, or something like that?
Interactive movie type thing?
What
I would say about this is like the actual filming and stuff, it does seem quite high production, the actual like people talking and shit like that. And there was a previous one.
Sick Ben when it's just filming. <you're>
Of course the graphics. Anyway,
but it does look like relatively high production, but yeah, there was a previous game, so it's got to be good.
We know what Ben thinks about sequels.
All it takes is for a game to have a previous one. And what a game. What? The
publisher believes in it. What do I say? What can you say about that?
It looks fucking terrible, man.
I honestly don't understand how this exists, but, you know.
I don't know what people are searching for to come across it.
Do you think, and this isn't me being horrible.
Dating sims are a thing.
This isn't me being horrible. It's coming out on February 14th, Valentine's Day. Do you think it's aimed at like single people who are a bit sad and they see
you being horrible, Eddie?
No, that's not being horrible. I've been single for a lot of my life. So, you know, I just think maybe it's their way of going like, oh, let's target these people.
Maybe dating sims are actually really popular around Valentine's Day. So dating sims is a genre. So.
Are we just suggesting people are sitting there crying into ice cream playing 10 dates to feel
But Pete, what do you do on Valentine's Day?
Same thing. Wait, it's Tuesday. I'll be playing cricket.
Oh, right. Well, that's not what I thought. Right. Right, let's move on because I don't think any of us are fucking going to break our backs buying
no
that one.
Going near that.
There's a free demo, Pete, on Steam right
Pete,
now.
Please play it. Please play it. Do something for this podcast, please.
Never.
Has just, for our listeners, you're going to enjoy this. Pete has just purchased a clickless, silent click mouse. Mm. Oh.
Should be said that wasn't for the podcast. That was to stop Ben moaning. They're very different things.
That's not for you, listeners. That's to stop Ben being a dick.
I've never heard a listener care. It's just Ben.
Oh no! I have evidence of that. But I edit out 1,000 clicks an episode, so if there are still clicks in there, I can't get them all. Can't get them all.
I'm going to continue clicking while I talk, just to make sure you don't.
Please don't do that.
This is our last week of the clicks.
It's the last week, Pete. Don't do it.
Oh no! I'm still going to keep this mouse nearby, just in case I want to annoy Ben. I'm just going to use the one
that is
silent for purpose. Yeah.
That's smart, sir.
You can hear the anger in Ben's voice.
200 IQ.
Right. Next one. Toa Plan Arcade Shoot 'em Up Collection, Volume 1, coming out on PC February 14th. The first in a planned series, I wish it wasn't, of acclaimed shooting treasures gamers are invited to spend Valentine's Day showing their love to arcade classics. Weird link to Valentine's Day there.
Yeah.
Build their own curated library of Toa Plan arcade hits and expanding it through 2023. The collection consists of well-curated selection of classic shmups, fucking worst word of all time, of Zero Wing, Out Zone, Twin Cobra, and Truxton, all enhanced with quality of life features, achievements, online leaderboards, and much more. We can't wait to hear what you think. And to make that more cringe, on their website it has a smiley face with the eyes like semi-circle, yeah. You know, yeah. So it's like a
an open mouth one. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Well, I've obviously already written on their website saying I think it's shit.
They asked to hear what you think. Yeah.
They asked. I gave them an answer.
You don't like the classic Truxton?
Please stop.
Or Out Zone.
I do love Twin Cobra. Not just one Cobra, Twin.
Twin. Pete.
Ben, if twin. There's a second one, it must be good.
Well, the thing is, when they said the first in a planned series, I thought, okay, well, the first one, I can't give it the time of day, but if they bring out, because it's a planned series, they bring out that second or third one, I'm all in, baby.
Volume 2, that is.
To be honest, all I can say is I'm glad it's only planned at this point so they can see how it goes.
Planned, yeah.
It says planned, yeah. That almost has some trepidation to it.
Just in case Truxton isn't the biggest seller, you know.
I've got every faith in Truxton.
No, it's all about Zero Wing for me.
It just sounds like a small town in the Midlands, Truxton. Not a game.
It does, actually. You know?
Yeah, it does.
It's quite nice. I'm not going to get it.
Oh, really? Oh, you surprised me.
It's the nicest thing I'm going to say about that game, trust me.
It's nicer than I thought you'd be. Fair enough.
I've got too much anger in me. Next one, Wanted Dead. Coming out on PC, PlayStations, Xboxes... And that's it. February 14th. Wanted Dead is a new hybrid slasher. Hybrid slasher / shooter from the makers of Ninja Gaiden and Dead or Alive. The game follows a week in life of the zombie unit, an elite Hong Kong police squad on a mission to uncover a major corporate conspiracy. It's a third-person hack-and-slash cyberpunk kind of game. The graphics are bad, but polished. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the other way around. I'm not really sure. Are the graphics good, but it looks bad? Am I right in thinking that?
I don't know either.
On a budget, if you know what I mean.
They had big ambitions,
but didn't quite pull it.
Picture this: like you have to go into the second or third video on Steam and late on to actually get some graphics. Mm. Beyond that, it's just like it's not even CGI. It's just like movie trailer.
Yes, yeah, they're all kind of that, aren't they?
Still frames don't look the worst.
Yeah.
Oh no, you can touch them up real nice.
Yeah, that's
they look good.
You know, there's a positive. I do love the name, by the way. Just Wanted Dead.
Yeah, I love it's that. Simple.
That's a win. That's an immediate win.
I actually think the blurb sounded great. Like, the game follows a week in the life of a zombie unit, an elite Hong Kong police squad. Yeah. Okay.
I wonder what police department would name anyone the zombie unit. Like
the one that goes after zombies.
But they're clearly not. It's a corporate conspiracy.
It's a bit on the nose, I must admit. But it sold it to me.
If these zombies are smart enough to have launched a corporate conspiracy, then I'm very impressed.
If they're not hunting down zombies, I'm fucking furious.
But then, I mean, it would make sense with Wanted Dead, I guess, because they're not.
It's a complete missell if it's not, yeah. You can't put zombie in the blurb if there are no zombies in the game.
They're just called Zombie Unit, point. Ben. It's just a name. It's just a moniker.
Yeah, but they've drawn me in there. That's a missell, complete missell.
If they'd been the Samurai Unit, you'd have walked away.
Ben,
yeah, absolutely. I'm not involved.
The Navy SEALs don't actually have any seals in it. You know that, right?
Well, yeah, no, I'd be furious if I turned up and I hadn't read any more than the blurb. I turn up week one.
The blurb of the SEALs.
Yeah, the blurb of the Navy SEALs. Week one.
This is shit. There is sorry, do I have to get
ride a seal? That's, I'm furious.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
Where do I get my seal?
We've deviated quite a bit here, but Wanted Dead. I think the melee combat is pretty good. Like they've got finishes and stuff.
Classic melee.
Classic melee. Yeah. So yeah, if it's for you, it's for you, I guess. Next one, Returnal is coming out on PC on February 15th. So if you want to get that game, there you go. It's probably going to be £50 start, but. I'll go into that. And next one, Warzone 2 Season 2 coming out on PC, PlayStation, and Xboxes February 15th, that one. It's got a new Resurgence and DMZ map, Ashika Island. It's got new weapons. There's a new operator. There's fuck ton of changes that they're implementing. Some good, really good ones. Some really bad, kind of controversial ones. I think a lot of people are saying they're kind of pandering and going back to the old Warzone 1 with a lot of the changes. I won't go through all of them. In fact, I won't go through any of them. But Games Radar have got a really good kind of list of all the changes and all the updates of each kind of aspect that's been changed. So go and have a look.
I assume it's got a new Battle Pass.
Yeah, new Battle Pass.
Get me in.
Oh, shit, really? But the old Battle Pass was kind of shit, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I completed it, so I like to... like that.
But it was so bad, Ben, that, like, I didn't even know I completed it until, like, ages in, and then I just went and unlocked the little areas, and then just, I didn't really get anything much that I liked from it anyway.
I got my incredibly handsome operator that I use.
Oh, yeah, he is handsome.
He is handsome, yeah.
Yeah. Like the opposite of what you look like. That's
well, is it though?
Yes.
Is it though?
No.
Correct.
Is he clean shaven and has hair?
He's tanned.
Ah, that is an opposite.
Yeah, he does tan well. That's the thing. Like I
tan well.
That's the only difference that I am.
He is sun
very,
the only difference.
I don't. The,
one
yeah.
is sun kissed.
I can't tan to save my life. But yeah, that is the main difference. And I appreciate and I celebrate you for pointing that out as the difference. Thank you.
Not the fact the guy has chiseled jaw.
No,
he looks
Eddie,
rugged.
Move on, Eddie. Come on, wrap it up, baby. Wrap it up.
All right, okay. That's it for new releases. My pick of the week. It's quite controversial because I think Spellforce, obviously, of last week looks fantastic. I think Blanc looks beautiful. And I think we can all agree that 10 Dates is going to be the game of the year. But I'm going to go for the big one, the one that I kind of decided. If it was a reasonable price, I'd be getting it on pre-purchase, and that's Hogwarts Legacy. That's my pick of the week.
That's good an stuff. Easy populist choice, fair enough.
Yeah, sorry to be boring, but I think this game really could, if it's the game that I want it to be, if it turns out to hit all the right notes, I think this could be an absolute belter for me. I think I'd
we'll be talking about it next week.
There you go. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, we're on to what we've been playing then, aren't we? And following a recent pattern, I'm going to let Ben kick us off with a sort of update on The Last of Us TV show.
Well, actually, I've been playing The Last of Us Remake, the game.
Oh, is that because you've been watching the TV show, though?
I don't know. My girlfriend bought it for me for an early Valentine's Day present.
Oh, lovely. Okay, okay. There
is so, but it is lovely to be playing it alongside the TV show again. So,
absolutely.
I think Kurt mentioned it last week that I was playing it because I know he's playing it. It would have been nice for him to be here because then we could have bounced off and seen what he thought of it. This is better than I remember The Last of Us first game being. I used to say like The Last of Us the first game is about an 8 out of 10. I thought the second one I think is a 10 out of 10. I think the second one is a masterpiece. And I always used to say, well, Last of Us is a really good game, but it wasn't like insane, but now playing it again, obviously the remake, which is the exact same game, but it just looks brilliant. It really, really holds up as a game today. Like if you release this today, having never released the first one, you know, this would genuinely be up there for one of the best games of the year. The storytelling is still fantastic, and it still holds up fantastically. It grips you like very few games do. Now, we all are not going to talk too much about The Last of Us in terms of its story, but graphically, it's they've done such a good job with it. And they've really brought it to the modern kind of console so well. So, I'm loving playing it. The DLC Left Behind is in on it as well, so you get that content. The only thing that I do think is actually missing now that I'm playing it is the multiplayer, because the original Last of Us did come out with multiplayer, and if this had the multiplayer, I genuinely think this would have been an absolutely stunning package of a game. As it is, I do think for when it came out at £70 or $70, that's crazy because it's a re-release.
Yeah,
but if I had the multiplayer on there, jeez, I kind of miss the not that I ever really played the multiplayer, but I miss it not being there, because I genuinely think this would have been such an amazing package if it did have the multiplayer. So I do think they've kind of missed a trick there, but maybe they don't want to release that because they want to actually release their real multiplayer game.
Yes.
as a live service game. So maybe if they did this, they thought that may hurt the sales of their next game, perhaps. So, but yes, you are right, Pete, though I have been watching the TV show, and the fourth episode did drop yesterday, and a bit of a slower episode and a shorter episode than the previous ones. You know what I was saying about the varied length to them? This one just went shorter, and part of me is thinking, like, it's almost like this episode was following the game, and the game does go through this same period of just, like, travel.
Yeah,
and then setting up before something else big happens. So, I'm very much enjoying the TV show. Don't get me wrong. Really good. I have particularly enjoyed episode 2 and 3. But I do think it'd be excellent to binge. That's what I think. But I think, Eddie, you've watched the first one, wasn't it?
I watched the first one. Yeah. I watched it. I've been away for the past, fuck knows how long, 4 or 5 days. Up in Manchester, of all places. So, and because we were doing things every day, it's not like I could be a bit naughty and take up my laptop and play some games. So I haven't actually played anything this week. But I did, on my phone on YouTube, I watched the first episode. I thought it was...
What do you think?
I thought it was bloody fantastic. Yeah. I was always going to like it because I think Pascal, whatever the fuck his name is not only incredibly handsome, but I think he's a really good actor. So, yeah, I thought it was brilliant. I thought the way they set it up was fantastic. I think I've never been happy with the, 2 years later or 20 years earlier and all that sort of shit. But I think this is the best use of it I've ever seen, because I wasn't mad at all. I'm not going to say any spoilers in it, but, yeah, I thought everything about it was fantastic. I obviously haven't played the game, so I was watching it as if it was an actual standalone TV series, and I think it's all been really, really good so far. It's kind of annoying that I've liked it this much, because I'm not going to get Now TV just for this series.
That is a shame, because it does.
You to do. This
is the second and third
exactly
episodes
they've
are
done
better.
This. Yeah, yeah, Ben. And I tell you what, I am going to be. I'm going to be a bit naughty, and I'm going to watch it again, because I like it so much. I'm quite happy to watch it again straight away. Actually, I'm going to watch it again with my partner. And then she might go, oh, that was brilliant. I can't wait to watch the next one. And she's a sucker for these sort of things. She'll then set up, a trial or she might even buy a month's worth or whatever. And then maybe we can go from there. So that's the plan. I hope she's not
devilish.
Listening to this podcast. And then
here's my she doesn't plans. Support you like that. It's fine.
No. I've noticed. When my parents say in our family group chat, like, oh, did you hear Chris say this? No, I don't listen.
Yeah, understandably.
Right, lovely. In fact, even on the way back from Manchester, and I said, oh, our new podcast is out. Do you mind if I listen to it just to, check if everything's all right with it? Oh, do you mind if we listen to country music? Oh.
I mean, that is a great compliment. Yeah. I prefer country music to this podcast, to be fair.
Whoa! Wow. Okay, man.
Wow.
Okay, buddy. This is
sorry,
just,
yeah, I need to edit that out, don't I?
Nah, just adding some country music as the outro.
Oh, yeah, just add some country music over the top of it. No one will know the difference. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I kind of might, you know, looking to get the rest. As of games-wise, I haven't played anything. I played the shit out of Tarkov before I left. There's that insurance system, isn't there, that I've told you about before last time I went on holiday and I lost loads of stuff. I don't know if I noticed this last time, but there is different levels of insurance. You can get different types of insurance off different types of traders. And I actually paid a lot of money with another trader to actually insure all my stuff. So I found a loophole. So I... Because that's actually, if you remember, that's the last time I stopped playing Tarkov.
Well, you stopped, didn't you? Because, your stuff kind of...
I lost lapsed. Probably, yeah, like 3 weeks worth of stuff.
So how does that happen, Eddie? If you just don't play, does it...
So the insurance works that if you lose your stuff, like with the base bog standard insurance, it will come back to you in 2 to 4 days. And that'll only be available for 4 days for you to collect.
You need to claim it. You need to claim it back.
But there's three levels, really. There's three people, you know, more expensive for each one. And the top, the most expensive one, if you pay the big bucks, then she'll get it back to you either in 12 hours or 20 hours. And that'll stick around for 6 or 7 days or something like that. So I, and this is bad, I know. But in the morning, right before leaving, I told the missus, oh, I think I've lost something upstairs. Quickly logged on, got all my insurance stuff back, and then left it. So
what do you do, Eddie? Do you just have to go into your inventory and claim it again? Or do you have to actually go into the game world and get it out?
No, because what the mechanic is, basically, is when you die with this insured stuff, as long as no one's taken it, so it's been left on your dead body, the mechanic is that the person you're paying the insurance goes into the map themselves, collects it, so all you need to do is talk to them and go, have you got my stuff? And
That is so cheap of the game, making you log in again to get it from them, rather than just returning to your inventory automatically.
Oh. Well, to be fair, Ben, there is a huge inventory management part of the game. It's called your stash. And, for example, I couldn't do that now, Ben. Like, I would not have room in my stash.
They couldn't
and I'd
put
have
it in.
To yeah. I'd have to dispose of it. So that is, you know, that's kind of how they go around it. But sorry, I haven't been playing anything. I have logged on to Atom RPG, that's 76p game that I bought
a
few weeks ago. And I've played a couple hours of it, and I am actually really happy, because I thought this game is gonna be garbage. But it's got Wasteland 2 graphics, so probably like 10-year-old graphics, not bad at all. And I think I'm really going to enjoy this because it's a post-apocalyptic strategy game. So stay tuned for next week for that.
Lovely. Stay tuned for Hogwarts Legacy and Atom RPG.
Oh, yes, wow, we're going to have a good new release. Yeah. That makes up for this week's poor show.
Well, I don't want to play anything new because, like, I was toying all last week with getting Dead Space. But I was like, no, come on, just play The Last of Us or something, because Hogwarts is coming out and that's you're going to want to play.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want other distractions.
No.
Yeah, understandable.
Yeah. What have you been playing, Pete?
Well, this is it. I have, as I said I would a few weeks ago and then got distracted by Hi-Fi Rush, I've mostly been playing World of Warcraft for the new expansion. So... This is Ulduar. This is the new raid I mentioned. That's the entire reason I decided to play again. And finally came out halfway through January. So we've had about 2 weeks of it now, which you can only run it once a week, just to put that in perspective. Or in each size, anyway. So, yeah, it's been amazingly fun. But the most interesting thing to come out of it is just how bloody difficult it is. Yeah. And I don't mean this on a personal level. I mean this sort of worldwide. I guess that's the way to put it. Mm. Because so far, 9,000 guild parties have managed to clear Ulduar. So this is in 25-man mode, which is the main way that most people will experience. Yeah? Okay. Which sounds like a decent number when you think that's, what, 250,000 people, basically. That's not too bad overall. But then you look into it a bit more and you realise that's on the easiest possible mode. And there are actually bosses in this, including early bosses, who no one has managed to kill yet.
Oh, wow.
Can you skip them, or are they optional?
This one is not skippable, but you don't have to do the hard mode. Hard mode is how they sort of say it should be done.
So does that mean that nobody has completed it on hard mode?
No, one's completed it on hard mode, yeah.
Right.
at least not with every boss hard mode. Because you make the choice as you go into the boss fight
of
whether you're going to or not.
So and then that dictates the loot that drops or something?
Yes, exactly that. And the reward level and the difficulty. And the one that no one has cleared, we actually tried last Friday, which is hilarious because at that point we didn't know that literally no one had succeeded yet. So we obviously got absolutely massacred. But it's just been interesting because even the final boss on hard mode, our guild moved servers, and on the night we arrived, the first team on that server beat the final boss in hard mode. So that was quite cool because you see it come up, it messages everybody on the server to tell you it's happened.
Oh, right.
And it was just like, holy crap, that's huge. So that was awesome to see. But it's so few. Like, there are, out of those 9,000 who've gone through on the normal mode and got through it all, 119 have beaten the second to last boss. And like very few have beaten the final boss, let alone hard mode. So it's, for one, you kind of forget just how hard this place was, because I don't remember it being that difficult the first time we played it. I just remember that it's amazing. Like, you're assaulting a gigantic sort of castle in the sky type thing, castle in the mountains anyway. And everything about it, the music, the atmosphere, the way it's constructed, so you have to siege down the outside and then break in and fight your way through, freeing people who will help you against the final boss. The whole thing is just so well constructed, but you do forget just how many times you die doing this. Like, your memory doesn't tell you that bit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You know?
The old sieve only filters out the good stuff.
That's it, and you never remember the fact that you just might stand in the wrong thing for half a second and two-thirds of your health is gone, just like that. some of the ways to activate the hard modes are hilarious. There's one of them that is just a big red button, and if you press it, it makes it a hard mode.
Yeah.
And so many people have been derailed by people who didn't play it before, just going, what does this do? And then suddenly the entire room is on fire while you're also fighting a really difficult boss with four phases.
Yeah.
So it's things like this have just been really interesting to re-experience. And there's quite a few that we've taken down hard mode already. I think there's something like seven bosses with hard mode, and we've done four of them now. So we've made decent progress, but you do die a lot. And the biggest problem for us in 25 mode is you can't finish it in a night. Like, if you're trying hard modes, if you just do it on the normal settings, you probably could. But if you're doing hard modes, you're going to wipe a couple times, and that takes you time. Like, some of these boss fights are 20 minutes each, and there's 13 of them, and then you've got to get between them.
Oh, that's a session.
It's a long one, yeah. I mean, in a few weeks' time, when people are geared, you'll be doing it in less than 3 hours. But that's the best you'll get to. It will still be over 2.5.
Christ.
Yeah, exactly. It's a long process. So it's been really hard to finish because trying to get 25 people to play more than one night, it's not feasible. You know what I
mean? Can you kind of pause it and can you
sign off and then everyone? Yeah, you have the whole week to finish your instance of it. From Wednesday to Wednesday, you can go back in. But the problem is always trying to get 25 people. And then if you say on Friday last week, we got through 10 bosses of 13 because we're not doing the 14th because you have to trigger things to get them to come down. We've done 10 of 13. You come back the next day and only 16 of your team come back. You're not going to find 9 people who are willing to just jump in for the end. You know what I mean? They'd rather do a new run. So we ended up not finishing because you can't replace the people you lost.
Did you say you can't attempt as many times as you want in one week?
So you can only go through the raid once. So if you down a boss, you can't do him again until the next week.
Oh, shit. Sure.
Yeah. But you can die as many times as you want against the bosses. So, you've got a whole week to clear it, but you can only clear it once.
Okay, yeah.
You can do it in 10 and 25, man. So there are two attempts at it, but they're very different experiences anyway. So we finished 10 man both times. We've yet to finish 25 because we always end up with less people than we need.
Understood.
Which is a bit of a pain.
Can you do it with less than 20? Could you attempt it with like 16?
Yeah, you can attempt it. You're not going to succeed. Yeah. Because okay, all of these guys are on... Like, there's either DPS checks or enrage timers or difficult mechanics that just mean if you're not going at the speed of a 25-man group, you're dead.
Okay.
So you can do it with less, especially if you've got people who do huge damage. But at this point in the expansion, 2 weeks in, you don't really have that many who do. They need to be like 6-8 weeks in, you'll get gear, and then you might be able to do it. Even then, I think 16 is a bit low.
Fair enough. How long will this consume your life for?
That's a very good question. I mean, it will probably be 3 months before they drop the next one. That's the most likely guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so cool.
It could be anywhere up to 3 months.
Anywhere up to 3 months. There we go.
I will still say, it's the best music in any of these games. It's fantastic. The music in that place is just stunning. Yeah.
Nice.
They smashed it. But enough about that. I think it's time for the feature, don't you?
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, let's do that one. Topical.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about the live service bubble, shall we? Which has definitely been doing the rounds the last few days.
Yeah.
And a lot of this has come from the news about Knockout City, hasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's where a lot of this has come from, which for those who aren't aware, Knockout City, which is the dodgeball game, will be shutting down in June. But it seems to be part of a larger pattern. So from sort of Fortnite in 2017, it became the model, didn't it? Live service became the thing everyone's trying to do.
Yep.
And all the big publishers, everyone out there seems to be trying to predict where the player base will land, what people want next, and what will keep them there for the longest, isn't it? It's what will keep people on this every day for the next year and a half plus.
Yeah.
So it's heavily reliant on maintaining an interest, maintaining a form of income without making a new game, and being able to pay your costs, which makes sense. But as we've seen quite a few times, there's a lot of misses. There are a lot of misses being made in this, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's quite a tricky one because I think we're seeing so many more misses than hits that it's starting to become a problem. So, I mean, Ben, you made a wonderful list of them here, didn't you? Where dropped support or shutting down games.
Yeah. So you mentioned Knockout City, obviously. And that did spark things. I mean, Knockout City, I think we discussed it ages ago. And I think even Eddie said that looked quite good. It is a dodgeball game, but they seem to have a plan. They originally came out at a cost. They moved it to free to play. You could free to play up to a certain level. It's like level 20 or something.
Oh yeah, I liked that mechanic.
Yeah, and that was quite a good plan, wasn't it? They had 12 million players over the 2 years. But that did include time when it was on Game Pass, and it has been free to play, obviously. But it seemed to have some kind. It seemed to have a player base. It also seemed to, you know, people knew what it was and said that it was quite a good game. That couldn't survive. You know, they've polled that, and that then sparks the question. There are other ones, as we said. So in the last 7 days, Apex Legends Mobile and Battlefield Mobile. Now, mobile games, yes, mobile games do come and go. But what that says is even the large franchises are not safe. Like, Apex Legends, you would think the mobile version of that would do serious numbers. But no, they've given up on that one. There was Rumbleverse, which came out not even 6 months ago.
Yeah.
That was ditched. The Battlefield one that was in development hadn't actually been released. Echo VR is another one. That's on the Meta Quest. Supposedly a really popular game. It reminded me of like Ender's Game. Like the team-based thing from the movie that I saw ages ago, so I don't even remember properly, but that it seemed to have that kind of gameplay to it. Crossfire X last week as well, now delisted from Xbox, because that's being ditched. We had Marvel's Avengers, which talked about last week, Babylon's Fall, that was an absolute clusterfuck, and that's shutting down this month. Anthem years ago, as well as Evolve. Did anybody play Evolve? I had that on Xbox, and I thought it was excellent.
The monster one?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that was brilliant, but it was ahead of its time. I don't think things were really... Like, online gaming wasn't as popular on consoles for those type of niche games at that point. But I think there's just, as you said, Pete, in the wake of Fortnite, and we've had other successes in Warzone and Apex, Rocket League, Rainbow Six, but everyone's looking for that big hit, and it's such a small percentage chance, but they yield so much value when they hit.
Yes.
Yeah. Like Fortnite. Like Fortnite was a different game. It was a single player game, wasn't it? Like beforehand, they turned it into this battle royale, and it just, it flew, and everyone's seeking that big hit at the sacrifice of many attempts to do it. They're willing for 10 to fall by the wayside for one to succeed. But what if one doesn't succeed?
Yeah, that is the awkward question, isn't it? And it is, I suppose, the big thing for us talking about it today is this sustainable in any way, shape or form? Like, it's a difficult one to answer, isn't it?
I don't even think anybody's really got the model. It seems like nobody can predict it. We come across games all the time. Eddie, how many times have you said on the new releases, like you know what it is, like a battle royale thing, or it's going to die?
Yeah.
We know it's going to die. We know it's not, nobody's going to play it, or it's going to be dead in a few months or whatever. Yeah. And it's a sad thing to say, because you could even have a great game and it's just, smaller publishers, it's almost like they can't afford to take the risk. And only big publishers can.
I think for me, I think developers should be focusing on the most important thing, and is this a good game? Instead of focusing on what should be coming out in the near future. Don't get me wrong, we've seen time and time again where a game has come out, and because they haven't planned, or I don't know if they haven't planned, or they haven't brought out good enough content. I mean, I'm shouting at Halo here. In the first video, you lose interest and everyone goes off it. But I think going against that very obvious point is, I think if you don't have a good game to start with, then I think that's what will kill you the most, more than anything, if you don't have an interesting game that you can keep on playing. Because, like, to use Rocket League as an example, that was unique. I don't know why I'm talking about the past tense. I play it literally every day of my life. It's entertaining, and yes, it keeps on bringing out new content. But the very first time I played it, I went, wow, this is quite good. Then 10 hours later, I was like, this is actually a fucking amazing game. And then when I found that new stuff was coming out all the time, I just kept on playing it. Same with Siege. I played that game as a computer game. I wanted to know what it was like, and I was like, oh, this is quite interesting. And I think that was probably the first proper live service game that I ever played. And then when I looked into what was coming next month, like the new people with their new abilities, I couldn't quite believe it. And that was entertaining. But again, with all these live service games, the only ones that have caught me are the ones that I play the game and I think, this is actually a solid computer game. I enjoy playing this game. And then the added stuff is a bonus on top of that.
Yeah, but look at Halo, Eddie. I mean, Halo Infinite, to all intents and purposes, the multiplayer on that is solid. They actually had a really good grounding, didn't they?
Yes.
But they
just get more. It's
an example.
Like...
terrible live service game, though.
Yeah. Well, this is, so the thing that I always like to compare this to, or always like to, that sounds like I've been thinking about it for ages. I haven't. The thing that immediately compared it to in my head when I thought about this was Netflix.
Yep.
And the reason I do that is, you look at what they've been trying to do the past few years, and it's all about finding that series that just explodes. And then they cull anything that doesn't make it after like one or two seasons. They just go, oh no, dead, if it's not going as well as they wanted. And they're doing it to chase after Stranger Things, basically. That's how it feels, you know? It's that huge cultural phenom thing. They're going for that. And yet, every time I hear about Netflix, they're doing worse. You know what I mean?
They're doing worse until they're doing better, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And it seems like you are gambling massively on finding this show or game in the gaming industry that captures everyone. And it just, I don't think you can accurately predict what it's going to be.
Well, let's look at Ubisoft for a second. I mean, they seem to be flagging at the moment. We see stories all the time, like, you know, that they're in the media the last few weeks, trying to G up employees and all this kind of stuff. They have had cancelled games left, right, and centre. A lot of them live service, things like that. They seem to be going after low percentage potential successful games, live service games perhaps, to fund everything going forward, to be the saviour, to be the huge hits. Now, do we think some of these companies like Ubisoft maybe losing, just going the wrong direction? Like, if they focused on their single player games and focused on genuinely making them good, genuinely going away from that Ubisoft everything on the map type thing, and actually creating a quality single player game and a number of them, rather than having to pay for servers, ongoing development, all this kind of stuff, that they might be more successful. It just seems that everyone seems to be focusing on these live service games the most. Look at Sony.
Yeah.
Sony are actively advertising that they are going after these live service games.
Yeah. I totally agree, Ben. I think the problem with that is it's going to be very difficult with these huge companies pitching ideas to investors about a game that isn't a live service game. This game is a Pentiment-style game. It's small. It's, you know, no big graphics. But we predict it's going to do well. I think with these big companies, they, unfortunately, need to go, this next game is going to be the biggest game of all time. It's going to bring in the biggest numbers. It's going to be the most profitable game of all time. Yeah. I think that's probably why I favour indie games more than ever now, is because I know that they have a vision of normally quite a simple idea, but it's unique and it's new and it's innovative in its own way. And that's what I find more enjoyable in games. I don't want a Ubisoft map that's bigger and better than ever. In other words, they've got more fucking pings on the map than any other thing, anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but this is the problem as well. You compare it to Pentiment, say, and yeah, I can understand why the investor would be looking at that. But think of things like Skyrim or The Witcher. Like, those games make money. They do really well.
But are they the same unicorn?
No, not at all, because they don't continue to make you money without you developing new stuff. That's what is the chaser for the live service.
Yeah.
Basically a way for them to do minimal effort and have a continual money.
Yeah, can I have money coming in non-stop for the next? Because that's what everyone wants.
All I've done is make a new skin.
You know, what I'm saying is, though, the unicorn in the live service one is like, okay, it has to land with players, keep things going. And I know they have to keep putting stuff in, but one, it has to be a good game. Then they have to deliver content. And it's a whole unicorn whether players even take to it.
Yes, massively.
But
look at Anthem is a great example of that.
100%. Yeah. But then on the other side, the Skyrims, like Skyrim, Witcher, yes, they've released new content for those DLC, but they're obviously not live service. But they are unicorns themselves because they are the best of the best. Like, you cannot hope to release a game like Skyrim that releases on every single generation of console for fucking 15 years or something. You know, it's so unbelievable. And yes, I understand the argument, but they are almost two extremes. Like, Fortnite and Skyrim are two extremes of
They are both extreme cases of the same sort of, the same level of different styles of game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a shame that you have companies like EA, we mentioned the quick news, cancelling that Apex/Titanfall single player game.
Yeah.
Now, probably going after something more which will generate money continuously.
Yeah, and that's it. And now I do question whether it is going to work. It's, you think of how expensive games are to make now.
Yeah.
And each one of these is a massive shot in the dark. It just doesn't seem like a good strategy overall, you know? If you make 10 and one of them works out, well done. If you make 10 and none of them do, like...
So, yeah, what about from a customer perspective? Just spin that round a sec and say, okay, I see Sony making some live service games. So they're making The Last of Us multiplayer, they're making Horizon multiplayer. That seems like big franchises, not guaranteed for success, but there's something. They also had, they didn't publish it or anything, but they pumped out, they supported Destruction All-Stars. It was like a big thing when the PS5 came out, like a few months after whatever, this Destruction All-Stars dropped and it's live service and it was kind of promoted. We can't even rely on something that's almost promoted on the PlayStation at that time when there weren't that many games to survive. So from a consumer perspective, unless it's something really massive like The Last of Us multiplayer, what you two, like, what's your potential investment in looking in a live service game that you think could be shut down within 6 months?
Yeah. Very. I'm never going to spend more money as it goes on anyway, but yeah, I see your point.
Like, it's just, you're losing consumer, like, buy-in, I think, if you just cancel things or step away all the time. Knockout City is a perfect example.
Well, look at, and again, bring it back to Netflix as well for that one, because if people, like, don't believe you're supporting the shows they want to watch, they're not going to stay with you.
How many times do you look at a Netflix show, and if it hasn't got more than one or two seasons and it's a couple of years old, you just skip it?
Yeah, exactly, because it's dead. You know it is. You know, half the time we hear about season 4 being renewed before season 1's even finished on the ones that do well. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it's a...
Yeah, like The Witcher show.
Yeah, exactly.
7 seasons or something.
Greenlit immediately because it did well, the first one out. But it's... I'm wondering how much of it is borrowed from mobile gaming as well. Because you think about how big a part of the market that is, and you think how many of those games you see pop up on YouTube just going, like, brand new game with all this stuff, and you get this free thing for signing up through this, play it now, and then 6 months later you never hear the thing again. Unless it's Raid Shadow Legends, which continues to somehow be advertised despite everything.
Yeah, there's probably like there's a couple of really big mobile games, but everything else kind of disintegrates into nothingness.
Exactly, yeah. And I just...
That market is so saturated.
Yes, but it is. It feels like the real gaming, to put it that way. I don't know, console and PC gaming in comparison, how would you describe it compared to mobile? It seems like they're trying to copy the format.
Yeah, I agree with that sentiment. I also think
if they copy the adverts, I'm going to kill myself. Fucking, there's nothing upsets me more than that.
But what's also is that mobile gaming is saturated.
Yes.
And it's hard to kind of stand out and get in there. But my God, like, live service games, I want to compare this to MMOs. I mean, you guys will be more familiar than I am, but if you're into an MMO, if you're into MMOs, just all MMOs, you can only really commit to one or two.
Yes.
Live service games are exactly the same. Like, massively, you can't do it. And it's a niche as it is.
Well, that's it. You think, like, there's only a finite number of people who can commit that amount of time to gaming anyway. Like, it's a vanishingly small percentage of the actual community. And then you think you're competing with Elder Scrolls Online, Final Fantasy XIV, World of Warcraft, and all of these. And you're competing with Warzone and Fortnite and everything else. It's like, what market share are you actually going after? Like,
do you
think you're stealing all of them? Or do you think you're getting the, I don't know, unknown million that no one's caught yet? Because surely by now they'll have found their game.
It's like the battle royales that come out, the ones that we look at and we're like, what the fuck? When you look at the battle royales that are out, yes, they are mostly shooters, I imagine, but the Apexes, the Fortnites, the War Zones, people kind of have that. And yes, they might shift over here and there, like try something else, and might shift game totally with their mates or whatever. But generally, they ain't shifting to your indie, cartoony, whatever that might play really well, but nobody cares. Like, it's so hard to get noticed and stand out. And they're all the same. They've all got battle passes and all this kind of stuff. The innovation is, it seems like nobody really wants to innovate massively because that's taking too much of a chance in already a risky market.
Yeah. It's costing more money when you don't know it's a guaranteed swing as well.
Yeah. I think
that's the other bit, is if a game is live service, you don't buy it to go, I'll play through this. You buy it to go, I'll play it for a while.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're cutting off such a massive amount of people by doing that immediately.
And as the game gets older, people are even more intimidated to join it. There's that part to it as well. Like, I think, I wonder what research within these big companies is done on live service games. I'd be fascinated to know, because it seems from an outside perspective that there is just not enough known on what makes a good... If somebody said to you, how do you make a good single player game? You could come up with a good fist of a single player game, couldn't you? You could come up with an idea for one and what you'd need to concentrate on to make it good, like tight controls, all this kind of stuff. Live service is just different.
Yeah.
It needs to hit different. I don't know if people know what that is. Like, why did Anthem fail?
Yeah, that is.
Like, why?
That has got to have been a very researched question within the industry, you'd think, right?
Yeah.
Like, that looked like it should do well.
Absolutely. That looked like it should do well.
Yeah. Even now, we're still talking about it.
Yeah.
The corpse of Anthem. Anyway, but it. I think the point you made earlier on, Ben, is also a really good one overall, which is that if people like Ubisoft are taking chances on this, and it's the big hitters who are able to do that, it doesn't leave much room for the medium studios. You know what I mean?
No.
There's not. No one else is going to be able to gamble like that. And even the big ones, if they gamble too many times and lose, they're no longer a big company, really.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be. So I don't think it, fundamentally, I don't think it is a sustainable model to follow. At least not in exclusion of all else.
Yeah, unless you're big enough. But yeah, absolutely, it can't. Unless you make a hit early, people are going to have to start pivoting. I think people like Ubisoft are going to have to start really asking questions of themselves and what makes them innovative and creative in a different space. I think Sony are trying to grab this now. Sony have obviously said they want to release 10 or 12 or whatever they want to say of live service games. But even they are probably willing for a number of them to fail. So,
yeah.
But it doesn't look like they're going anywhere, even though we've had so many fall away now in the last couple of weeks or whatever.
I will say, I think the best way for them to work is going to be through things like Game Pass and PlayStation Plus.
Yes.
Definitely.
Thank God. Yeah, we've literally mentioned it earlier and I was like, that is his name, right? Is through those. Because I think if you have a sort of centralized thing that you pay for, that you can try all these games, you're more likely to experiment with them, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
as
I agree.
We've seen. And then if a live service game catches you, that's your reason for that subscription.
Yes.
But if you're just paying for it on its own, you've got to know you like that game to keep going or you're just going to stop.
You need at least one of your mates, let's be honest, who have paid for it and played it, and then it's fine. Me and Ben both played, is it Frontier 1 or something like that this year, and it wasn't very good.
Yes.
We didn't play it, but that's a perfect example of it was free, so me and Ben both gave it a go. If it was good, we probably would have played together, but before not too long, we probably would have got Jack involved, and then Kurt would have jumped on, and then you've got yourself a long-running game, but...
Mm.
Yeah, it was shit.
But you do need to tear people away from their existing games, don't you? And then that is so hard to do.
Yes.
So, yeah. So no real conclusion.
No, I mean, I think, Ben, as always with us, it's a not quite news because we'll see the conclusion in a few years' time.
Yeah, or even next week there'll be something new in the news that totally makes this irrelevant. So,
Sony, brand new live service game, takes the world by
storm. Yeah. No, a whole new department. Yeah. Fuck you.
Every publisher drops live service games. Okay.
Yeah, all right, there we go. But if people have different predictions, Ben, how could they let us know them?
You can email us podcast@grumpygamers.co.uk. You can tweet us @grumpygamerspod. We've got a YouTube channel, Grumpy Gamers Podcast, and Twitch, Grumpy Gamers Podcast, all one word.
Oh, Ben, hang on. You were on another podcast as well, weren't you?
This week I was on Pure Dead Gaming Afterlife, the monthly recap show for January. So, yeah, check that out, Pure Dead Gaming.
Nice.
Fantastic. But for this week, it's GG.
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 Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home. Mountain mama, take me home.